Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to another podcast. Today I'm accompanied by two great friends of mine, Anna Beta.
Hey guys.
And Hayes Brown.
Hayes, we're live.
Hey guys, today we're throwing it back.
But not like that, Addison Ray.
Oh gosh, Alden. Yeah, not like that, of course. We're going back in time to the Gilded Age to discuss the hardships of women during this time. Basically, women did not have equal rights to men, and they were truly not a part of society. Usually, they would work at home doing chores, cooking, or taking care of their children.
Yeah, Hayes, I mean, honestly, as women in today's society, I think this podcast would be one of our better ones. I mean, we can really relate to how women were treated in the Gilded Age to how women are treated today. I mean, I know we can see many problems in our everyday lives, but we most definitely do not have it as bad as women during the Gilded Age.
You know, Anna, I totally agree. I mean, even as women today who live in America, we still do not have 100% gender equality. Which, this just helps us kind of better understand what these women were going through during this time period. Just a little bit. Not like, you know...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have... Like, we don't really have that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything. They
just,
did.
Like, I'm saying, it's not 100... Like...
Yeah, sure, Alden. Like, yeah, yeah.
You can also see, like, through these people, like, if they weren't there during this time period, we wouldn't be where we are today. So it's really helpful to see, like...
Yeah,
how much it's changed.
It is. So basically, we can make a, through the Yellow Wallpaper by Charlotte Perkins Gilman, she writes about her controlling but loving relationship with her husband, John, and Gilman is convinced that she's sick and needs special help, but John believes that she's perfectly okay and that the only way that she can heal is by being isolated, and this kind of shows like how women were kind of like not truly a part of society during the Gilded Age.
Yeah, Hayes, this is a great story that really has a deeper meaning than one would actually think. I strongly believe that reading this story once will not give the reader the whole message that Gilman is trying to get across. I mean, since the Yellow Wallpaper is written from the first-person point of view, the reader only can see the story from Gilman's perspective, which is not very reliable because pretty much everyone thinks that she's insane.
Oh my god, like, I so agree with you. The point of view really does affect the story. And it's funny you say that because I actually have a quote that supports that. And it's just trying to prove about Gilman's, like, ignorant attitude towards the doctor's diagnosis for her. So Gilman says, "Personally, I disagree with their ideas. Personally, I believe the congenial work with excitement and change would not do me good."
Yeah, Alden, literally just from you reading that, you can see that she's crazy. Like, it scares me as a reader, being a woman in today's society, and... But then again, it makes me feel some sympathy towards her because her husband basically traps her in a room by herself that makes her feel alone and isolated, just like she's alone and isolated in society.
Yeah, and like another thing that I caught on to, I don't know about you guys, I just thought this was like kind of interesting, is like there was bars on the upstairs windows, and I just like kind of thought this like symbolized men during this time period, like having control over women. I don't know what you guys think about that. I just thought it was like kind of interesting, and I'd say something about it, but...
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Auden. I think that was a very interesting point. And also, like, a historical connection we can make through the women that she sees in the wallpaper. And we, like, related it to like, the women during this time period because, like, they didn't have as many rights. And they basically were, like, stuck doing housework all day. And, like, through Gilman's words on page 652, she says, "And it is like a woman stooping down and creeping about behind that pattern." And that just shows that, like, they were trapped. And, like, when she finally tears down the wall, it, like, represents her trying to, like, free women from their unequal part in society.
And, yeah, along with, like, inequality with women and the Gilded Age, you can see that the story of an hour by Kate Coppin,
yeah,
case? Okay.
Yep.
Can relate to connecting to women not feeling truly free, which who told us about the story named Louise Mallard and her husband Brentley. So basically, Miss Mallard and everyone else thought that her husband had died in a train accident, and finally Miss Mallard felt free. She didn't have this burden of her husband and the weight of his just
she was basically happy that he died.
Being on her shoulders, so she felt free. But towards the end of the story, she ends up finding out that her husband is not dead, and she ends up dying from a heart attack due to shock.
That is awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Oh, and you can see this this drama and this dramatic irony just from this.
And you can see how like other people have so much control over the women during this time.
Yeah.
And a very strong woman named Susan B. Anthony took this fight for women to another level to get more equal rights to for them.
Yeah. Like, she worked hard to support women's suffrage and basically wanted it to be a part of the Democratic and Republican platforms during the convention in 1880. And it was she had to figure out a plan to execute this. So she asked for women all around the country to send postcards to represent their votes instead of a formal petition, which I think that's so
cute. Like, that is so...
Yeah.
It's like such a woman thing to do.
Exactly.
And it was a good idea, but also Susan B. Anthony says from her statement it was for the Selected Committee on the Women's Suffrage on March 7th, 1884, and she says, "I do not wish to see the women on the 38th state of this Union compelled 7 to leave their homes to canvass each other, school districts by school districts, it is asking too much of moneyless class. The joint earnings of the marriage co-partnership in all the states belong legally to the husband." She says this as she tries to prove the point that no matter how hard housewives work, she is not entitled to any of her husband's earnings. So in conclusion, she tried to make it better for women to truly become a part of society.
Okay, guys, we're running a little bit over time today, but I really hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, and please tune in next week to come see us and hear us again. We love you, and goodbye.
Bye.